Well, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Then you can go to Hebrews chapter 12 and Isaiah chapter 6. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach the whole chapters, just portions of the scripture I'm going to be taking there. Those are the scriptures you can mark, that you can read with me when we get there. Like tonight, I believe the word I have is very similar to what was spoken this morning. See, God speaks to us. And I didn't go and prepare it after the service either. Started preparing yesterday and the day before. All right. But I asked the question tonight, how then shall we live? Pastor Keith gave us this morning the plan. He said, in Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for us. How then shall we live? It's a question I'm asking. You know, for so long, we as Christians have gotten ourselves so busy with things in life that we've forgotten the very essence of the living God whom we're supposed to be serving. And I believe that this is a time when Christians need to think, act, and speak biblically. We as Christians need to have a mindset and a lifestyle which God requires of His people, particularly in times of opposition and persecution. Church, we need to listen to our Lord and to His inspired words so that we may gird up the loins of our mind. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, we read this. Therefore, Pastor Pat always, when he was teaching us, I'm talking many years ago, he said, if there's a therefore, it's there for a reason. So take note. Okay. Therefore, gird up your loins, the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you are called on the Father, if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in the last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. And the grass withers, and its flowers fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Folk, tonight I believe that's an awesome scripture. I believe the plan of God is to call us back to where He wants us to be. People living according to what God wants us to live. I ask the question, how then shall we live? I read this little article. Chickens don't fly around in the sky and perch on telephone wires or swoop down and capture some prey. It's not who they are. Whales don't walk around on the earth, on the land, or dig up in the dirt looking for their meals. That's not who they are. And pigs don't live in oceans. That's not who they are. You see, folks, the fundamental rule in nature is that how we live reflects on who we are now. Now, as our human identity is infinitely more complex than that of the chicken, the whale, or the pig, but the principle still applies. How we live reflects who we are. Holiness is a term that is used not very often anymore. Some people are afraid because it sounds too holy. Okay? And I'm not talking about Cartonville or Western Area. I'm not talking about that either. In principle, holiness is what all of us expect when we turn on the tap. As this principle, this was the principle in view when in about the 1860s, some Russian scientists recommended moving the water supply pipe of St. Petersburg from where it was. Because about 100 meters upstream from the water supply, that which supplied all the people with water, untreated sewage flowed into the Neva River. And that was upstream from where you're getting your pure water. A few hundred yards up from the intake of the city's drinking water. And then in 1992, some 130 years later, environmentalists visited the city of 5 million people and were shocked to find that the situation had not changed. The residents routinely continued to boil water, the brownish yellow water that came from their taps. Some even used mutton cloth as a strain, but they couldn't drink, they cannot drink, or could not drink that water unless they had boiled it, because it contained toxic bacteria that caused diarrhea, stomach cramps, and nausea. It's like, yes, it's a horrible story, isn't it? But what I'm trying to do here is say this. Holiness is like clean water that has been set aside for our use. We don't go and drink contaminated water. God has set aside a holiness for you and I that is pure. And He wants us to live that way. He says, be holy because I am holy. At its most basic level, holy refers to the condition of being set apart, separated from others, being different. It is a word that whose highest meaning is found in referring to God and to objects and people that God has set apart for His own use and service. And folks, tonight I want us to understand we're not here by accident. As Pastor Keith said this morning, we were born for a time like this. You're here for a purpose. Set apart for the use that God has for you in ministry or in some function within the church. You've been set apart. You're special. You're not just some, you're not just somebody. You're not a rubbish. You're a person. You're precious. You are a living being that has been created by God and given for this time. Set aside for this time. Holiness is what God wants and expects from us. Holiness is a reflection of God's character. And if you go right back to Genesis chapter 1, now I'm going back to my lecturing. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says God formed man in the image of God. In the likeness of God, He formed man and woman. And therefore God wants us to be as He is, in His likeness, reflecting God. How do we reflect God? By being holy. He wants His children to look like Him. And I believe that God has given me four steps tonight that we need to go through so that we can achieve this. And the first step is this: turn away from your sins, the sins of your past. As it was spoken in 13 and 14, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. In Romans chapter 8, it says we must not walk by flesh, but by the Spirit. Flesh leads to death, Spirit leads to life. And folk, that's exactly what God wants us to do, by not conforming to the past sins. And this thing, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, in the days of Jesus, they all had long flowing robes. And folk, I want to tell you today, some of us are still walking with the long flowing robes and they're tripping us up every time because we're continually falling into that sin. And I want to tell you today, Jesus Christ through Peter is saying, gird up the loins. In other words, you take that long flowing cloak and you take it and you pull it through and you hook it into your belt so that you can run or work hard. Excuse me. And that's what God's expecting of us. So that we can do what He wants. Today we would say we're rolling up our sleeves to get right to work on the business of holiness. Peter's saying, prepare your mind for action. In Hebrews chapter 1, once again, the scripture you used this morning, and I'm not taking it from this morning. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And people, I want to tell you what. Don't think that you're going to live a life without trials and tribulation. That's the race that we're running. It's like running an athlete standing at the starting line, getting ready to do a hurdle race. Those are the trials and tribulations that you've got to get over. But Jesus said in John 16:33, He said, you will have trials and tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And folk, I want to tell you tonight, because we are children of God, we can overcome this world. Is there anything hanging around the edges of your life that could trip you up today? If there are, prepare your mind for action. Gird your loins up, the loins of your mind. In other words, get ready to get down to work. We have received grace and a new identity. Once we receive this new identity, it takes effort to live out that new identity. Effort means work on our side. It's by the grace of God that we have been saved. His grace alone. But yes, there is work from our side that we need to do as well. Step number two, we need to look to God. We need to become more reliant on Father God, not on ourselves. I didn't do it my way. God did it for me. When we're confronted with infinite holiness, we can go to Isaiah chapter 6, who pronounced his own condemnation. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And folk, I want us to realize tonight, for many of us, that's where we feel at. I believe that's why God's inviting us in. He's saying, "I've got more for you to do." But we need to get to that point where we're walking the spiritual life that God wants us to walk. Where we're walking and doing what God wants us to do. Isaiah was literally saying, "I'm speechless. I'm dead." He also recognized that he was unclean. After seeing how holy God is, Isaiah was struck with his own sinfulness. Peter had a similar experience with Jesus. When Peter recognized in Jesus the creator of the fish of the sea, he fell on his feet, on his knees, and cried, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Sometimes we think we're pretty good. But folk, when we catch a glimpse of God's holiness, I think our attitude will change. Be that God is showing us what we should be like. A mission trip that the spaceship or the space shuttle Endeavour took, the crew collected radar images of the Earth that were to be transformed into the most accurate map ever made of our planet. Being a surveyor, I'll say we fly LIDAR and do scanning. Okay? And each scanning photo has something like 3 million pixels or points that are, every one of them is coordinated. So you can imagine how this is done from space. As they hold the antenna in exactly the right position at exactly the right time, they take those photographs, they do everything, and everything of the spaceship has to be exactly perfectly placed and in position without any movement. And as a result, they were able to draw three-dimensional maps of the Earth. God's Word operates in much the same way in our lives. The Scripture provides us precisely complete, reliable images of what our life is like from God's perspective. The Word gives us the knowledge and the guidance we need to map out our lives according to God's will. So, folk, when God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, He sent His Holy Spirit to guide you so that you can fulfill everything that God wants you to fulfill. Every plan that He has, the plan that God has in Jeremiah 29:11, God has a plan for you. He knows that plan. And He will help you along that way so that you don't stumble, you don't fall. Folk, it's through the Word of God that He does it as well. The Word gives us the knowledge, the guidance we need to map our lives according to God's will. God is our standard. And of course, we all fall short. As Romans 3:23 says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. And when we look to God, we get the right view of holiness. And the right view of holiness leads to the right view of sin and the damage it does to us. Folk, God evaluates how we're doing. The fear we should have isn't a frightening kind of fear, but a fear of offending a loving and ever watchful Father God. That's the fear we should have in ourselves. The third step is this. We need to recognize the importance of God's Word. All the words are God-breathed. We need to obey it. We need to obey God's Word. Because it purifies. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your Word and following its rule. Folk, there's no other way for us to be pure but by the Word of God. That's our blueprint. That's our direction. That's what God wants us to do. Secondly, it produces love. This love is real. It's pure. And it's strong. What's our vision, mission statement? To love one another. what's it? Fervent in faith and flourishing faith and something in love, growing love. Yeah. Sorry, it's new. I'm just trying to get it into my head. Okay. And I'm not looking for trouble. But folk, you see, this is what the Word of God does. It teaches us about a real, pure, strong love. Okay? Sometimes our love isn't real. Or we think it's real, but it's not as real as it appears to be. There can be underlying selfishness in our apparent kindness, which desires to be world-like. Well-liked and praised. What is the love that Peter speaks of? Folk, I want to tell you, it's service, it's ministry, it's self-denial and self-giving. To put others' well-being before our own, not because it is pleasant to do it, but because it is right. That's the love that God wants. You see, love is an outcome of holiness. And I'm not just talking wishy-washy, messy love. I'm talking agape love. I'm talking a love that goes deeper than deep in our lives. And I believe we find that command to love one another deeply from the heart. From our hearts, folks, we need to love one another. Peter now turns us to our relationships with each other with this command. I want you to notice that this command is actually a command to go deeper The first part of the verse talks about developing a sincere love for each other as we obey the truth so that level of love, I believe, already exists. A sincere love for one another. I believe it already exists. But Peter says, now go deeper. Now go deeper. Get right down to the heart level. Not just here. Let's get down to here, folk. Not at a distance, being kind and available when asked, but right down, deep down into the things going on in our lives, responding with love, deep love from the heart. The reason for this love is made clear. For you have been born again. You've been born from above. You've been born again. And folk, it takes us right back to our new identity. Who are we? The reason we can and must love one another deeply is because of who we are. Born anew as God's children, siblings, are now able by the Holy Spirit at work in and through us to connect with each other in a profoundly deeper, more selfless, more secure way than we could ever have done when we were slaves to selfishness and sin. And folks, that is where I believe that God wants His love to grow in love. That's where He wants us. He wants us to get down to the heart of love. It's when we're at the heart of love, we can say that yes, we're beginning to do. We're just at the tip of that iceberg. You know, the very tip. Even when we start getting a bit further down, we're quite there yet. There's so much more for us to do. That's what God says. Go deeper. Go deeper. We are now free to love. Jesus set us free to love one another that deeply, folk. He made the way by His grace and His grace only. His mercy gave us that way to do exactly that. The final step is this. We need to realize who we are. We are reminded of some incredible truth about who we are. We are surrounded and protected by God. We've been adopted as His children. And our inheritance is pure and safe. We have a living hope. Suffering is normal and okay. And what we get to experience as members of the new covenant and as people filled with the Holy Spirit is so amazing that both the ancient prophets and the angels of heaven long to be part of what we have in Jesus. And folk, I believe that's the truth. The angels long to be part of that. You see, we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation, a peculiar people, people belonging to God. What should we do? Show forth the praise of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has set us apart so that we might live for Him. True love is messy. We continue to reach out to one another across our difficulties, embracing those unique things in each other and valuing them, putting aside pettiness because we have been born anew. We are people of God, fuck. Imperfect, but trying to love God more so that we can live holy lives. I believe tonight that we need to know who we are in Jesus and then live it. I ask this question as a closing statement. How do we live? How do our lives reflect who we are? Are we reflecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God? If not, folk, there's work to be done. There's work to be done. And that work is through the power of the Spirit. When we start walking in the Spirit, I believe that God's love becomes more evident. When we start walking in the Spirit, Pastor Keith, we can stand here and say, Father, we have need of you. We can stand here and say, Father, I need a new fire in my life. Tonight we all came here. We needed that new fire. And I believe God has answered that prayer before I even said it. Folks, let's go out into this week reflecting that love of Jesus. The deep, sincere love that goes beyond pettiness. If somebody's hurt you, you still love them. You ever seen two children? And they've had a big Barney fisticuff. Couple of minutes, they're arm in arm, they're big chummies again. Come on, adults. Are the children going to show us up? Let's start being as Jesus wants us to be. Let's start reflecting Jesus from day to day. Father, we love you. Father, we appreciate you. And Father, today I pray that we will begin to reflect you, that we will begin to walk in your Spirit, with your Spirit leading, becoming more reliant on you, Father God, not on ourselves. And Father, that your kingdom might grow because of it. Father, we're here for you. We're available to be used by you. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.